Hey, this is James Arnold Taylor, voice actor, the voice of
Yabba-dabba-doo, Fred Flintstone,
Johnny Test, who's 11 years old and totally awesome,
Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank, Tidus from Final Fantasy X, oh yes, and of course, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It wouldn't be coffee with Kenobi without yours truly. The Force is strong here indeed.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. We are your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, rhetoric, and the best travel tips this side of the galaxy. Can everybody hear me okay? All right, good deal. It's great to have everybody here. It's a bit of an overcast day, but it's not a bad day. It's a good day to do Star Wars Reads Day. One thing about live things is that you have to be ready to think on your feet, don't you, Thomas?
That's right, you do.
Oh, that one doesn't work. Oh, that one's good. All right. Okay. Good deal.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Live shows are always funny and unpredictable. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi, show number 150. Can you believe it? 150 shows of Coffee with Kenobi. We are, of course, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, rhetoric, and the best travel tips this side of the galaxy. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation coffee out of my Run Disney mug sent to me from one of today's guest co-hosts. Coffee with Kenobi is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. For all of your travel needs to the Disney theme parks and the cruise lines, as well as anywhere you want to go on vacation, be sure to go to www.mousefantravel.com, the official travel agency of Coffee with Kenobi. On CWK, I invite you to join me as we think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. You are here with your Star Wars family as we go to our favorite coffee shop and talk some Star Wars. On today's show, Riley Blanton and Jeff Ellis join us as we talk about the top five things we love about Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi. So I'm going back to the beginning of the show as I'm getting ready to release it, and I have to put in a quick edit for you. This was not recorded when we initially did the show, but there was breaking news on November 8th that Cassian Andor's live-action series has been announced, and that's amazing news. We'll talk about it in much more detail next week on Coffee with Kenobi, show number 151. But for right now, what we know is that Bob Iger announced it on the new Disney streaming service, which is called Disney Plus, which is also breaking news. We're going to have a brand new series following Cassian Andor during the formative years of the Rebellion and prior to the events of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And Diego Luna, as I said, will reprise the role of Andor. Here's a quote from him. "I have so many memories of the great work we did together and the relationships I have made throughout the journey. We have a fantastic adventure ahead of us, and this exciting format will give us the chance to explore this character more deeply. The rousing spy thriller will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to a galaxy in the grip of a ruthless empire. A release date has not been announced." So this is great, and anytime you get more of the formation of the Rebellion and the overwhelming presence of the Empire, that means there's a possibility of Darth Vader, there's stormtroopers, all kinds of great stuff. So this is fantastic news, but I had to go ahead and put this in the show before we went and released it, because this is gigantic stuff. Again, much more to come on this one on show number 151.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee, first off, we have Riley Blanton of the Star Wars Report and Mouse and Castle. Welcome back to the show, Riley.
Well, hey, Dan. Thanks for having me on once again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Can't wait to talk.
Hey, likewise, man. Anytime we get to chat on or off the air, I am a happy guy. So, and I want to talk to you later about Mouse and Castle too. But before that, we've got to bring on Jeff Ellis, who is a CWK Patreon contributor. And I talked about Jeff on show, I think, 147 and 148, because he and I were going to hang out at the Rancho Gala. And the gala is just very exciting and crazy. And for some reason, our paths didn't cross. But luckily enough for me, I get to have a cup of coffee with him tonight. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Did you have a great time at the gala?
Oh, my God. It was awesome. It was awesome. Next year, Jeff, we will definitely connect back.
Part of our pre-show conversation. You said you've been to every single one of these?
I have.
Dude.
I mean.
I'm so jealous.
He's a native. Well, you're a San Francisco native, right?
Well, right. I live in San Francisco, so it's one of those things that I can do, you know, right? People who live in Orlando or Anaheim or L.A. can do all those things. This is one of the things I can do, and Steve and Ann are awesome, and I love Rancho Obi-Wan, and I love Star Wars, and yeah.
So very good.
I've been to everyone, and it's been fun every year. Every year is a little different, and support them. RanchoObiWan.org.
That's right. Steve and Ann are the best. I agree. Well, gentlemen, as we said at the top of the show, and as we've been going along through the movies in chronological order, we are now at what for many people is the top film in the Star Wars prequel trilogy. That would be Revenge of the Sith. This is the top five things we love about Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. I always knew Riley was going to be on for this one.
I jumped at the chance because I wanted to talk about what for a long time was my favorite Star Wars film, and is still to this day my second favorite Star Wars film.
Oh, cool. I like it. Well, go ahead and kick this off for us, if you would, sir. What is your first one on your list?
You know, actually, I think, because you talked about like favorite things about Revenge of the Sith, and you're pretty broad with the categories of like scenes, moments, or in this case that I wanted to kind of launch our discussion is what I think is sort of the anchor of Revenge of the Sith that makes it. Mm-hmm. There are many things that make it my favorite of the prequels. That's so well done. But I really think the sort of anchor of the film that ties everything together so well and keeps the dramatic tension going is Ian McDiarmid, the Emperor himself. And there's so many great scenes that when you watch him, like when he's opposite of Hayden Christensen, who a lot of people, you know, criticize legitimately and maybe just not so fairly Hayden's acting at some points. I mean, I think it's amazing by the time Revenge of the Sith comes around. But Ian McDiarmid's performance on the way he just like with precision delivers every line, like in the opera scene, you know, do you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And you can just hear every like syllable you like choose on it. It's just one of those, it's Shakespearean, and the drama is made so much better by Ian McDiarmid's performance. And I absolutely love it. It made a lot of people, when you criticize Revenge of the Sith for Anakin falling too quickly, that never occurred to me as a teenager the first time I was watching it, because of the sheer evil and manipulation of Palpatine, and Ian McDiarmid just does a perfect job.
You know, that could easily be my top one as well, because almost all of mine have to do with him in some way, shape, or form. But as I said this on a previous show, in fact, the one where we talked about The Phantom Menace, I think he deserved an Oscar nomination for his performance. So that is a great way to start off. Jeff, what's the first one that you have?
My first one is a quote. And I know we're recording this on Election Day in the United States. It's Padme's quote, "This is how liberty dies, to thunderous applause." And this is one of my favorite quotes in the entire Star Wars saga. I think it's beautiful. I actually love the politics of the prequels because I think that it makes sense. This is a story we were waiting for, right? You know, in that prologue in the Star Wars novel back that Alan Dean Foster wrote years ago, it talked about, you know, the corruption in the Senate and the bootlickers and whatever. But I feel like, you know, there were so many moments in Revenge of the Sith that we were waiting for. And somehow this line has always resonated with me. Maybe it's, you know, what's going on in real life, not to bring that up, but, you know, who knows? And I just love it. I love that moment. And I love the fact that George kept the politics of the Old Republic and how they failed, really, front and center as a story point in the prequels.
Yeah, interesting dynamic we have there too. And I mean, the politics of Star Wars, obviously they're most often really used in the prequel trilogy, but I think the most effectively in Revenge of the Sith. My first one, actually, it's not necessarily political, but it's the conversation between Anakin and Palpatine. Mm. And they're talking about in the Opera House, that scene, which basically is the beginning of the very immediate, look, this is the big bait I'm putting in the water, and I know you're going to take the bait, and we as an audience know it too, but we still can't help but hope and root against it happening. The music, the creepy, weird, amorphous blob that is supposed to be part of that opera in the background that sort of adds to the confusion of what's going on in the scene, and how he talks about Darth Plagueis the Wise. It's just, it is probably one of the best scenes in any Star Wars film. It's very rich, it's very powerful, and it's one of the best.
Is it possible to learn this power? Well, remember how that line was in like all the TV spots? I remember seeing like the TV spots that, and right. I think they had them on the DVD, that one line was in like all of them as they were trying to kind of hammer home the point of how he was going to reel him in bit by bit.
That's right. And then he loved every minute of it too.
Yeah.
Riley, what's your second one?
You know, I think it's going to be a specific moment in Order 66, because Order 66 is so well done. I actually, the first time, we can talk, it's okay to talk about when you've cried in a Star Wars movie, right? That's okay.
Of course.
Judge me, right? Of is this course. The same space? Is this okay?
It's okay. Very okay.
Thank you. The first time was Empire, and it was the I love you, I know moment, and specifically like the music as Han Solo is being lowered into the carbon freezing chamber, and that's just so well done. The only other time I cried in a Star Wars movie was during Order 66. It's so impactful, but I think the combination of the visuals and the music that I think it's at the end of the sequence, and Dan, help me out if I'm misremembering the order of events, but it's when Anakin and the 501st march up the steps of the Jedi Temple, mm-hmm. and you hear that full march theme.
So powerful.
That's where you sort of get, because you've had these personal moments where you've seen individual Jedi Masters die, and you've seen them on screen here and there, and it's tragic, especially, like, let's be honest, Ki-Adi-Mundi's is probably the most tragic of the deaths. That's they really linger on the betrayal there, like the look of confusion, left, right, not sure what to do, mowed down. But yeah, we get the...
Kayla Sakura got shot in the back.
That one's
pretty bad.
But like bit by bit, we see all these sort of personal moments, but you sort of get a visual representation of the weight of the betrayal and the weight of what's happening when you see the 501st marching in perfect formation into the main entrance of the Jedi Temple, taking over. We're in charge now. Evil is overcome. And then George Lucas dares to give us a little bit of hope with the young Jedi trying to escape with Bail Organa, and then smashes that too. So,
oh gosh,
that was really the twisting the knife right there on the end of Order 66.
The very generous view, because I never thought for a second that young man had a chance, just because it just seemed so dark. I mean, even the lighting is dark.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's so well done, and it's a really, really moving moment, because Revenge of the Sith is such a perfect tragedy in the way it's, I think its greatest strength, like everything we've even talked about so far, the sort of reeling in, the betrayal, it's funny, I queued up Revenge of the Sith and just randomly put it in the middle of the movie to put on the background, and it's literally that exact scene right now. That's funny. It's just a perfect tragedy, and Order 66 is that pivotal moment where the whole movie just changes.
Good call. Very good call. That's actually going to come up later on my list as well. Jeff, what do you have for your second one?
My second one is the novelization. So the novelization of Revenge of the Sith is by Matthew Stover is just wonderful. It is one of the best Star Wars books out there, I think. And it really, for those people who think, and later in my top five, I'll talk about the pace of the film. That things happen too fast. The novel really does delve deeper into things that the film can't. And, you know, what's going on in Anakin and Padme's mind and some of those things. And I just, the novel is so good. And if you haven't read it, you should. And I'm not sure what more to say about that, except that this is a fantastic Star Wars novel. It's well written and it fleshes out and it makes you appreciate the movie better. And I know I'm not the first person to say that, but I can't do a top five about Revenge of the Sith about that.
That's a great call. That is a great call. That I would go so far as to say that that book is literature, like actual literature. And I don't toss that term around lightly at all. In fact, I'm kind of a literature snob, being a student of literature and teaching it for a living. And that the prose in that book, just read the first couple of pages. And Jeff, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, because it's gorgeous and really sets a stage. And the atmospheric quality of the writing in that one is just tremendous.
It literally invented its own like Star Wars literary term, the Stover effect. Like people who read novels before the movie had that much higher of an opinion of the movie.
It's true. And I think it elevated the culture, the Star Wars culture, just the novelization of that film. And not a lot of novels of any movie could really say that. So that's a great one, Jeff. I can't believe I hadn't thought of that, but well done. My second one is the tonal shift at the beginning of this film with the fate of Count Dooku. I mean, at first we've got this epic intro, which shows a shift in tone anyway, but there's still some lighthearted banter and some things like that. And then in a powerful, shocking moment where literally Anakin is balancing light and dark while holding a blue and a red lightsaber. I mean, how symbolic is that? He executes, he doesn't kill, he doesn't defend himself. He executes Count Dooku at the behest of Palpatine. And that's when you know this is real. This is getting real. Oh my gosh, George Lucas is going there. It was bold. It was brave. It was unexpected. And to me, when you see that moment, you realize that you're in for something you haven't seen before in a Star Wars film.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. That's sort of like things are different because it opens with such a sort of friendly, fun, comedic beat.
Except for the march of the drums when they're flying those.
That's true. That is really the first indication that things are different.
Right. Right. But not to the tune of your hero that you loved and you saw as a little boy is cutting off someone's head. He's executing people. And you're just like, whoa, this is a big deal. This is different. Well, we will take our first break. When we come back, we will get to our third and fourth items on our list of the top five things we love about Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
None of what happens on Coffee with Kenobi happens without our CWK Patreon contributors like Ben Elkington, Dennis Keithley, Rebecca Raven, Terry Lee, Chris Gavarka, Angela Sauce, Wayne Booker, Aaron Harris, Melinda Wolf, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, BJ Smith, Christian Dale, Nick Deco, LJ Souter, Chris Metz, Jason Hall, Tim Bungaroth, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Daz Davies, Jared Cantor, Brian McKinney, Thea Selby, and Jeff Ellis, who you are, of course, listening to on today's show. Coffee with Kenobi's Patreon page is a way for you to get an exclusive podcast every Sunday. It is CWK Pour Over, hosted by myself, Tom Gross, and Corey Club, the original co-creator of this podcast, alongside with me. And this week, we talked about Dungeons & Dragons and updated everyone on our characters, our adventures, and the importance of play and critical thinking through Dungeons & Dragons and how that benefits kids. Here is a clip. All right, so this week we had a blast talking Halloween last week, and this week it's November, so we're getting closer to Thanksgiving, which is great. My second favorite holiday of all time would be Thanksgiving, which we can talk about that probably later in
versus
November.
Cashmere Pulaski's, right?
Well, that's that's up there. Okay. Do you know why what Cashmere Pulaski is based on?
Yeah, that's where we got the cashmere pants. That's where we got that
yeah,
cashmere
not
blast.
Exactly. Tom, do you know? You're in education. Mm. You should know this.
No, I'm not sure I know.
I believe he was a general, either German or Polish general, who helped out America during the war.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. Polish, yeah. I believe.
That's really vague. Yeah, during the war, during America.
Well, I mean. Revolutionary War, yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway. I can't get off of my favorite holiday of Flag Day. I mean, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You remember in the movie The Naked Gun? The Naked Gun, one of the funniest movies ever made. But he asks Priscilla Presley out on a date, and she's, well, I'm not sure that'll work for me tomorrow, being Arbor Day and all. Anyway, this show has nothing to do with Arbor Day or our favorite holidays. We are going to bring everyone up to date on Dungeons and Dragons and our Dungeons and Dragons adventures. I always find these clips where we're laughing because we laughed all the time. We have a great time, and we have heard some awesome things from our CWK Patreon contributors who are equally loving the show. It is making them laugh. It is providing conversation that I think we like having at our own houses and our own coffee shops and things of that nature. We want you to feel like you're part of the CWK family and CWK Pour Over, and being a Patreon contributor is an extra way to make that happen. So if you have any questions, go to CWK Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi, or email me at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. We'd love to have you as a Patreon contributor. And while you're at it, don't forget One Nation Coffee, the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. It smells amazing and tastes even better. They even have a subscription service that is really convenient. Be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com today to order the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi, and be sure to enter the code KENOBI10 for 10% off your very first order. We are back, and we are back to Riley for his third thing that he loves about Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. Riley, what do you have?
Let's talk about it. I talked about me crying. Let's talk about Anakin Skywalker crying. I don't know what it was. It's after the Anakin's Dark Deeds, which is literally the name of the item in the soundtrack, when he slaughters the remaining separatists. There's this sort of moment of reckoning, and I think it was important for Lucas to show at one or two points after Anakin's given himself, even after he's taken the name Vader, and has pledged himself to Palpatine, to show moments of hesitation, maybe moments of remorse, or at least sadness in this case. And that moment that where we get the establishing shot of Mustafar, and he's just standing on the edge of the platform. It's a beautiful moment because it's also a second to breathe.
You're talking about that when he has the Sith eyes?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't see remorse in that at all.
When he's crying.
Oh, okay. That's
not the turn to camera, but
that's a great Riley. Yeah. You're so right. It's a great scene.
It's just because it's nothing but. It's a really long establishing shot at there where you just like park on the desolation of the planet, and that's sort of reflected in the desolation of what's happened in Anakin's life as he's just kind of observing it and the tears roll down his face. It's a really beautiful and poetic way of portraying it. And I dare say anyone who criticizes the prequels for being clunky or poorly made, it's like there are very legitimate criticisms that we could talk about, but this isn't the time or place to do that. Mm-mm. But man, did Lucas have a grasp on how to use those visual elements to just describe the sheer
pathos.
Desolation.
Yeah, it's pathos. He knows that you feel a conflict in you because you're just so torn on what this person is doing that you've grown to love over the past couple of years while watching these films. And you feel his emotion, but you're also very angry with him, just as he's undoubtedly very angry with himself, which of course carries on for the next, 19 years or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's my next one? Oh, there's so many in this movie. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here So, Dan, you and I talked about Rancho Obi-Wan. A couple of years ago at Rancho Obi-Wan, one of the items I won in the live auction was a press kit from Revenge of the Sith that was a it was basically like a action figure that was, you turned it and it was Anakin turning into Vader. And then stuck into the packaging was a little, you know, all this press kit stuff that they wanted people to, you know, the press to know. And I won that. And it's one of my favorite collectibles. Mm. I'm looking at it on my shelf now. It's really cool. And I just love it. You turn like the little, it's hard to explain on audio, but you basically turn it and it turns from Anakin to Vader. And then with that is all the stuff the press needs to know, I guess. I'm not an entertainment press person, but it's awesome. And I love it. And I've always loved this item. I thought it was so cool.
What a rare collectible. And,
yeah, that's a good one.
So, yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, I don't know. Thanks, Steve.
Well, yeah, not too many people have something like that. That's definitely a feather in your cap.
It's a fun one. And Anakin / Vader, and I think of them as the same person, is one of my favorites. So it was definitely something to, you know, get and enjoy.
That's amazing. I would love to see a picture of that. If you could send me one, that would be awesome.
I will do so.
Perfect. My third
Anakin
one.
Anakin/Vader.
I can't wait to see that. My third one is General Grievous. For all of the guffaws, for people say, well, he runs away all the time. And
no shorter than I expected.
I love General Grievous. I love the design. I love Matthew Wood's voice. I love that he's sort of a precursor to the Vader archetype in a way, with the breathing and the way he's hunched over. I love the way he fights. I love the way that he's cowardly, but he's also scary at the same time. Really, the best version of General Grievous is the Tartakovsky cartoon, where Grievous makes his appearance. Yeah, that's by far the best. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't live up to that sort of image, but I had that in my head when I saw the movie. And I think Grievous is a definite highlight, a very, very well done, very well designed character. One of my favorite things about this movie.
Yeah. No, he's so ruthless in that series, too. I love it.
Like big time.
The Coruscant chase.
Oh, yes.
That's great. He's like the Terminator.
Right?
Oh, good.
Totally. I love Grievous. Although, let's also, in sort of the current era of Star Wars fandom, probably the greatest generator of prequel meme dialogue and lines. a fine addition to my collection. So uncivilized.
That's right.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The greatest hits. What's your fourth one?
Number four. So I'm circling back to my third one, because I talked about my favorite moment from an acting perspective, but it wouldn't be like Riley's top 10 of anything Star Wars if I didn't talk about the music. And I'm testing the water here. This is a little testy. I'm gonna say, Dan, can you hear this? Did it come through?
Yeah,
hooray! Our experiment's working. All right. So the exact same moment, kind of leading up to the tears and just the beauty of that moment from a visual perspective of the sort of desolation. I want to just play this clip to lead into my fourth. And you'll know why, Dan. Wait for it. So just as Padme arrives and lands, there's this brief pause as she sits next to 3PO. Hmm. And there you see Anakin begin to run towards the ship. And I hope it came through okay for you guys.
Yeah, I could hear it.
it's so beautifully done, because in this moment, as Padme arrives at Mustafar and you see the tragedy, you see that, you see the pace of the movie is just rocketing through. It's pale male towards Anakin versus Obi-Wan. It's like 20 minutes left in the movie as I'm looking at it here. We've just had Anakin slaughter the Separatists. Order 66 has happened. The whole pace of the movie, right in the middle of that, towards the end of that third act, when Order 66 happens, just like picks up pale mail. And in this moment, you have this just a little second to breathe, quite literally, as Padme leans forward and just takes a breath to try to gather herself to face what she's about to face. And you hear, in almost sort of like a longing and tragic sense, the love theme from Attack of the Clones.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was added later. I'm going to do a prequel nerd out moment here for a second. I think that was added later in the post production, because it's not in any of the soundtracks. Nor even in, like, I've dug through, like, some people piece together, like, complete recordings by ripping the actual DVD and just isolating the audio tracks. It's not even in that. My theory is it was more of a Lucas thing wanting to add that moment. But it's just that moment to consider what's just been lost because of what Anakin's decided to do. And that entire moment is made by John Williams' music. And that's my number four, because specifically what John Williams does with Revenge of the Sith, this is his full opera. This is full on operatic music, down to the ubiquitous use of choral music, whether Anakin versus Obi-Wan and all the choral music there, to the dirge of sorts that plays in the opera scene. It's just one of the most, I guess, I can't think of a better way to put it, operatic Star Wars soundtracks, and it carries the film so well. That's got to be my number four.
Operatic is a good description, because it tells a very powerful story. You could honestly just play the music without dialogue, and I think you would have a very similar impact on audiences. So that's very nicely described.
I had David Collins on Star Wars Report like 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And I just like legitimately I've been dying of curiosity about sort of like what the production process would be to make a moment like that. Cause like, that's also a moment that I just like, it always hits me hard every time I watch the movie. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know like, why wasn't in the soundtrack, or what point they would like add it, or how that decision's made. And he had a couple interesting ideas, but that's kind of, he pushed me in that direction of sort of, that's probably how they captured and inserted that moment into the film, just to have that all too precious moment to take in what's happening before, you know, the pace picks up once again as we go into Anakin versus Obi-Wan.
That's cool. And he would definitely be the person to ask, obviously. Good call. I keep saying good call, but these are all good. Both of what you are saying is just...
I don't know about you guys. I like this movie. It's all right.
It's so good.
It's honestly very good.
This is a great movie.
Well, what do you have for your fourth one, Jeff?
All right. Well, this has been touched on in many aspects, and I hope this isn't a cheat, but my fourth one is a theme. It's the moments we've been waiting for. I'm an OG Star Wars fan. this movie delivered, right? You know, I spoke about the prologue in the Star Wars novel that some of us read as kids earlier, but the lava planet, Anakin and Obi-Wan, you know, who is Darth Vader's wife, or, you know, the mother of the twins, the birth of the twins, all of those things happened in this movie. And it was such a, It meant so much, you know. I mean, this is what we were waiting for, and it excited me. And I feel like it was the buildup of the entire prequel trilogy, and I loved it, you know. So there were just so many of those moments.
No, I love it. That's not a cheat at all. I think that's an important aspect of this entire thing. What do you think, Riley?
Yeah, the last 5 minutes of the movie where you see the twins delivered to their locations and you see Alderaan and you get a little bit, you know, that New Hope cue in the soundtrack where you kind of have the understanding of what's to come. It doesn't ease the tragedy, but it helps kind of connect it to the larger story in that way. I guess it's kind of going off what you're saying, Jeff.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Very insightful. My fourth one, I'm trying to figure out, and I should have gone in and got the actual counters on the film itself, but I didn't do that. But basically, from the moment towards the middle of this film, when Anakin and Padme are shown in separate chambers, and she's obviously full of grief, and you could just, it's almost like this dramatic irony where you can tell that her heart is starting to break, and she's not even sure why yet. And we know what's happening or what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to unfold, especially if it's the first time you see this film. All the way, and that creepy underscore of that music that sounds very much like a horror film. You mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about? All the way to the March in the Jedi Temple. That I'd say 15, 20-minute segment is perfect. I mean, it is perfect. I don't think that some of the stuff before it is, and I don't think some of it afterwards is. That's not a knock. It's just, I mean, few things in film are absolutely perfect. But that segment is, because that is completely Shakespearean. It's completely powerful. You see this fall. You see the confrontation with Palpatine and his quick change to become from Anakin to Vader and the conflict that he has about how do I do this? Do I play God?
Yeah.
And basically try to take powers of the devil, so to speak, and... Mm-hmm. And use them to manipulate the natural order of things, the natural order of life? Or do I turn my back on these people that have basically raised me? Where's my arrogance? Where's my pride? It all is just on the table. It's like all the seven deadly sins are all right there.
Yeah.
In one way, shape, or form. And it's pure cinema magic. It's completely Shakespearean. And when I show this film in my mythology classes, what I do is I do kind of a machete order thing. I do 4 and 5, and then 1, 2, 3, and then 6, which I guess is the machete order. But last year when I showed this, my students, she had never seen any of these movies. And she begrudgingly watched them. Well, she didn't really have a choice because that she was in my class, so she pretty much had to. And she was completely hooked. And when Anakin goes in that temple and kills the younglings, which I still think is very hard for me to watch that scene, even though they don't show much. And that's the scene why so many of us as fathers and mothers haven't shown this movie to our kids, because of that scene. How do you explain to everyone that this individual, this hero that you love, just murdered a bunch of children because someone told him to? It's hard, and it's very, very powerful. I've always looked at it as a metaphorical loss and death of Anakin's innocence, more than actual physical manifestation. But I don't know, maybe that's just how I keep myself sort of at peace with it.
Yeah.
But when that scene happened, she said, "What?" And she hit her desk and she was mad. "Why is he doing this?" she said. And I have goosebumps remembering that moment. I thought, oh my gosh, Lucas has got her. She's a senior in high school.
Oh, wow.
She was so hard. Yes, it hit her so powerfully. And she looked at me and she said, "Mr. Zare, I cannot believe that he did that." And I thought, this is why this is a great film. This is why George Lucas is a genius. He knew how to get at our heartstrings, to pull our hearts out, just like Padme's heart was ripped out. And I think it's just a gorgeous sequence.
Yeah. No, so well done. It's so well done.
It's amazing. We'll go ahead and marinate on that for a little bit.
Yeah.
We will take a bit of a break, and Tom will bring us the latest Star Wars news. And then after the news, we will finish our list of the top 5 things we love about Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
People legitimately ask me all the time, what do you love about Harry's Razors? You talk about it on Coffee with Kenobi all the time. Well, actually,
I really do love it, and I don't endorse anything that I don't actually love or use, and it's easy with Harry's because of the closeness of the shave, the smooth, comfortable glide, the weight of the razor, and the design of it, plus the scent of the shave gel, which is amazing. Harry's also stands behind the quality of their blades, which I love, because they appreciate and they know that switching razors is not an easy decision. So they have created a trial offer for you, and you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/CWKFamily. Harry's Razors founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades, made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. And that's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. Just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. We are also talking about a quality guarantee, which I really like. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. Let me give you some details on this trial offer. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners to my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKFamily. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKFamily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support this show. We're back, and Tom is with us to bring us the latest Star Wars news. Last week, you and I were just talking. We had our top five things, our top five favorite Star Wars books, which we did live at the Star Wars Reads Day event, which I thought was a fantastic time.
Oh, that was so much fun. Really enjoyed it. I really liked hearing your top five. You really surprised me with some of those. So that was so much fun. Just the whole event in general. And of course, having you, Coffee with Kenobi there, it's just a highlight of the show for me.
Well, you're very kind. What surprised you about my list?
Oh, I really thought that Bloodline was going to be your number one.
Oh, really?
Because you speak so highly of it, which deservingly so. I mean, Claudia Gray is a phenomenal writer, and she did really capture Leia's essence in that story. And I'm trying to remember what your number one was, but it was not what I was expecting
at
all.
It was the Rusty Miller Star Wars Jedi Masters trivia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because of the nostalgia, and I have so many memories. I mean, I have like 40 years of memories of that book. That's why it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a great choice, but was not what I was expecting. So that was a lot of fun, though. It was a good time talking about that. And, of course, I brought the visual aids, which doesn't help anyone here. But certainly, when you're live, it's good to have the visual aid.
Yeah, we were trying to present live, you know, for people that came to watch this and listen. We're recording the show. We're trying to make sure it was on Blog Talk Radio. And I was trying to do some stuff with Instagram and social media. So we were doing a lot of things at once. And as you said, it's a good prep for celebration because you gotta meet your CWK family and all the places that they come to say hello. So it's fun. It's challenging, but it's fun.
It is.
I love it. Yeah. So let's do some news. I know there's not a ton, but we've got something we can definitely talk about.
Oh, this is definitely a big item. Executive Creative Director and Head of Industrial Light and Magic, Rob Bredow, tweeted today, or this week rather, that he will be joining Star Wars fans at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago this April. Bredow specifically announced that he'll be visiting panel discussions talking about Solo and his new book, Industrial Light and Magic Presents Making Solo a Star Wars Story. He also tweeted a photo of some of the proof pages from the book. Now, according to StarWars.com, Bredow joined ILM in 2014 and was part of the creation of ILM X Lab. He also oversees creative strategy and global operations. The book Industrial Light and Magic Presents Making Solo a Star Wars Story is a chronological look at the film's production and visual effects artistry. Now, to take a look at the image proofs from Bredow's tweets, you can find the link on Coffee with Kenobi website under News and Information.
This is a big deal because this is the first major announcement for Star Wars Celebration as far as who was going to attend. Now, the past two celebrations, the first one to be announced was always Dave Filoni. And so I think it's interesting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that it's not Dave. I mean, I would say it's pretty fair bet that he will be there. But that they go the special effects route. And I think that's important because they deserve all the accolades. They bring so much magic to the screen. I mean, even today I was watching the original Star Wars with students for the mythology class that I teach.
And just watching some of the effects there with Jabba, and I just thought, wow, look at how gorgeous this is. And this is back from 1997 for the, you know, the special edition. So this is cool because this is going to be a part of the book, Industrial Light and Magic Presents Making Solo a Star Wars Story, which I know Lisa Dillard is super excited about. And it's great. It's great to see that. And what encourages me, and Lucasfilm basically said this on Twitter, that get ready for a lot more announcements, which means, well, gosh, it's November and of course celebrations in April. But that means we're going to start getting all kinds of stuff. So I'm so excited about Celebration. I'm even more excited that you're going to be a part of that.
Oh, I cannot wait. And buckle up, man. I'm so excited about the announcement that there will be announcements.
Exactly.
That is so much fun. And you know, I do like this announcement here because Rob Bredeau, I've seen him on some interviews. He's outgoing. He's well spoken. He's smart. He's an innovator. And it's going to be exciting to see him, not just for the Star Wars and this great book. I love the fact that he just started taking photos on set. And realized, he said in one of the interviews, he said, I just realized I was the only one on set with a camera. And he started taking pictures. And I believe it was on the Star Wars show sometime this summer that he had mentioned that he was just going to kind of collect these photos to give to set. And someone said, why, if you're going to collect these photos, make a book. And so we talked to Kathleen Kennedy and she's like, let's do it. She saw the photos and thought it was great. So these are going to be some one of a kind images in this book. And looking at the tweet with just the pictures that he has on those proof sheets that he reveals on Twitter, it's going to be an exciting book, but it's going to be exciting to just be able to experience him and hear all of the wisdom he brings from ILM.
Oh, for sure. And you know, at this point, all we know is that he's going to be there. We don't know if he's going to be a part of a panel, which I think that's probably where he'll be. If he'll be signing, hard to say, maybe all of the above. We really don't know. But what we do know is that Coffee with Kenobi will be a number one place for you to go to get the latest news on Star Wars Celebration Chicago. Of course, we will be there. Myself, Corey Club, Lisa Dullard, our media specialist, will be there. Tom Gross is, of course, going to be there. We are going to have an absolute blast. So that'll probably do it for the news segment, I guess, because we're running a little low on news, but that's okay. I have a feeling that things are going to pick up quite soon over the next few months.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Riley and Jeff and I will finish our list of the top five things we love about Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. I start my morning every single day with One Nation Coffee because it is absolutely the best. You can start your coffee subscription so you never miss out on the best coffee in the galaxy by going to www.onenationcoffee.com today. Plus, enter the code KENOBI10 to set up a coffee subscription and save 10% off your first order. I mentioned MEI and Mouse Fan Travel at the top of the show because they are amazing. They are the travel agency of Coffee with Kenobi. It's what we use for all of our travel all across the globe. They have signature service and expert advice to help clients maximize their vacation time and dollar. They can also help your family enjoy everything the Disney theme parks and the cruise line have to offer, help plan every detail, and they share invaluable tips for you. Check out www.mousefantravel.com today and let them know Coffee with Kenobi sent you.
We are back. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 honorable mentions just based on what we've been talking about in our conversation. But before we get to our honorable mentions, we will do our last one on our list, our fifth one. Riley, what do you have for us?
I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted by these Snapchats you're sending me. I can't hear the thing that just happened. So, circling back to the beginning of the conversation. Okay. Back to serious Revenge of the Sith talk. my fifth and final. This is a hard one. I kind of just went with the first five that came to mind as I was kind of prepping for the show tonight. And I got to go to the Anakin versus Obi-Wan. But specifically that moment. At the end of the confrontation, as now Darth Vader. Well, it depends, because this is always kind of a question, and you guys can chime in too, on like, when is Anakin Vader? And from my point of view, the Jedi are evil. No, from my point of view, I always saw the moment, this moment, when Obi-Wan laments that you were the chosen one. It was said you would destroy the Sith, not join them, and bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. And Anakin's simple, brutal, and hateful response is just, I hate you. And Obi-Wan's response is, you are my brother, Anakin. I loved you. Mm-hmm. And that back and forth kind of crystallizes, A, why Obi-Wan's my favorite character in Star Wars, because that's his response. His response to great hatred is love. And he already says, you were my brother, Anakin, I loved you. I don't think he's doing past tense because he doesn't anymore. I think he's doing past tense because that's the moment Anakin is Vader.
I think it's before that, but I definitely think you make a compelling argument.
Mm. Yeah.
I think
it's when it's real for him because he realizes, oh my gosh, he's not going to change his mind. I'm going to have to kill him.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
I just think it's when he christens Invader. Many people disagree, but that's when it is.
Then he goes and he kills the kids.
Riley, you're right. You're right. And Dan, what you just said is right. This isn't black and white. Nothing is, but that's truly when he becomes Darth Vader.
Certainly, I think that's the
in
moment.
In my mind.
I could totally see that. I think, and maybe a better way of putting it, now that I'm kind of thinking about this out loud for the first time, I think a good way, this is when Obi-Wan fully realizes it. When Obi-Wan uses, when he says, I loved you, Anakin, Anakin in his mind is now dead.
And but he's still calling him Anakin. I think that's not accidental.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he has a name tag that says, call me Vader.
Yeah.
Sith, you know, it doesn't say that, but he's still calling him Anakin. He's still having a hard time letting go. And I think you're right. That is the moment when he thinks this is it.
Okay. So I'm not sure how to characterize this in one word, but this movie and many of what I'm going to say has been said in pieces and is actually really well done. I love this is what I love about this movie. I love it. The pace, I'm sorry, but the acting. Ian McDiarmid is amazing. I even think Hayden is amazing in this movie. I am your brother, Ewan says that. Ewan's amazing in all the prequels. It's all so good. A woman named Camille Paglia wrote a piece, and you guys should look this up if you haven't read it. It's very intellectual. In 2012 about this film, and called George Lucas the greatest artist of the 20th century, or one of them, which I don't think we would disagree with, but cited Revenge of the Sith as a masterpiece because of the way the tragedy is depicted, the way birth versus death, the end scene where you have like Padme giving birth and Vader being born. It's so Shakespearean, has been said on this podcast. It's just beautiful. And I'm not sure what my point about this last thing is, but it's like this movie is great. And there are so many wonderful themes. Maybe it's the themes of this film, birth and death and tragedy. It's just so good. And it's not, necessarily for kids. I mean that scene where Anakin kills like kids is even though not much is shown is very haunting for me. But man, I love this. And I think it, shows how creative George is, and it's not just the best of the prequels. It's one of the best Star Wars films.
Hear, hear. Well said. No, I like that very much. The last one that I have, I can't believe it hasn't come up yet, is the Yoda Palpatine showdown.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
Adam, right. Your rule is.
I mean, so Yoda walks in and the two royal guards take a step towards him and he just barely moves his finger and boof. I mean, that moment in the theaters, for me, the first time I watched it, elicited awes and laughter at the same time. And kind of a like, oh my gosh, Yoda is mad. Like, he's mad and he's not messing around. And we've never seen him quite like that. Yes, we saw him do old Dooku in a breathtaking scene. But this, again, raises the emotional stakes. And, you know, at the end, you fear for Yoda. Yoda seems very, very vulnerable, more so than we've ever seen. It's very, very exciting. The choreography is beautiful. It's just an incredible, powerful thing. And we get to have the Duel of Fates return back as well in full force. So that's definitely my last one.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a good one.
Definitely.
Especially like the freaking moment they start spinning the Senate pods.
And he uses his nails and he's clutching on to the pod as yes. He falls off. And then you're just like, wow. And plus, I mean, the CGI
If you watch that scene, guys, just imagine Yoda and Palpatine screaming, screw you, as they go back and forth tossing. Just like, it's funny, but it's also awesome because it's like you really see like two Force users at the height of their power going at it. It's pretty.
Yes, and it's sad too because Yoda does kind of lose.
Oh, not kind
of.
Do
we agree on that?
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't. He's kind of lose. He all in loses. And I would say he's not.
I think there's two, but I've heard. Yeah.
No, he loses, and he's. I think we're seeing the very end of his powers, and I think that's why it's even more tragic because the Emperor's on the rise, as is the dark side, and they're both symbols of their respective sides of the Force.
Yeah,
I need to do a commentary on this movie.
Yeah, well, this is why this movie is just so crazy. It's because you get that it's like this Yoda is so powerful, he loses, and there's this. It's despair after all the despair that we've seen. And then at the end, Luke and Leia are born. I mean, there's just, it's a really, really powerful movie.
It is, which is why I have four honorable mentions. Now for these, I'm just going to mention them. I'm not even really going to talk much about them. I'm just going to kind of put them out there and just sort of let them marinate. Do you guys have any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I'll throw a couple out. Okay. Opening shot. The extended shot of the space battle, nothing like it in a Star Wars movie. It's so busy. Like, in fact, if you watch the commentary, if you listen to the commentary, you'll catch it. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but like literally, there was so much on screen happening in that opening shot. At one point, off in the corner, there's like a kitchen sink floating along by
really?
Separatist ships. And it's just literally an ILM joke that they threw everything in the kitchen sink in the shop.
That's magnificent.
Yeah, you'll catch it. George is laughing about her.
Sounds great in surround sound, by the way, that opening sequence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely one of my... Yeah, well, you'll just do rapid fire. Jeff, do you have any?
Oh, I have scenes that I love. Certainly the Battle of Coruscant.
Yeah.
Amazing. One of my favorite. Buzz droids.
Buzz droids.
Oh, good call. The sound on those things.
And yeah, they were so fun. I remember seeing that in the theater the first time, being like, oh my God, so awesome. You know, that opera scene, as I mentioned, so good. You know, not from a Jedi. So many great things. And just, you know, the visuals of it all. I love Coruscant. So seeing, you know, Coruscant and so much of it taking place at Coruscant was wonderful. So, yeah.
Raleigh, do you have any more honorable mentions or is that pretty much it?
I mean, let's do an honorable mention to shirtless Anakin in the beginning of the movie. Like, Hayden Christensen just went to a lot of work there just for that one shot. what's funny is I just watched, legitimately, guys, I just watched, since we're being goofy, Empire Strikes Back with someone who hadn't seen it since they were a kid yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yesterday. And she was She was pretty into it and interested and asked a bunch of questions and stuff. I had to like turn off the Star Wars podcast filter where I like, because the way we talk about these movies is like it's a second language that we're all fluent in. Mm-hmm. And so you have to like only not over explain things that you don't need to.
It's very hard. It's very hard to change hats.
But the comment she made legit in this while we were watching it is like, damn, Mark Hamill's looking good in the training sequence with Yoda. She's like, wow, he's pretty buff.
And that's hilarious. That's great.
So that reminded me of Hayden. So yes, an entirely superfluous and sorry guys, I totally derailed our very serious, you know, analysis of this film.
You're allowed.
This is a tragedy. Don't worry,
I'll bring it back. No, I'm sure a lot of people are saying absolutely and other exciting things when you said that as well. I have no doubt about that. So I've got four. My first honorable mention is seeing the movie for the first and second time. I always, just like all of us, I'm sure, see the movie on the first day. And I remember going into this film being so incredibly nervous, like I was going to watch Game 7 of the World Series or something like that. Because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to see how Vader becomes Vader. How's this going to turn out? Is it going to deliver? Am I going to be, you know, I always worried about being disappointed. And not only was I not disappointed, my jaw hit the floor and I had tears in my eyes and running down my shirt because it was so powerful. And then the second time I watched it, which was less than 24 hours later, I took my family at the time and I was worried that it wouldn't impact them the way that did me, but it totally floored them too. And I was just so excited. Just seeing all those sequences again and knowing how people are going to react and what was going to happen was great. The Shakespearean qualities, which I talk about all the time on almost every show I've ever done. The opening music and sequence, you know, again, that pulse pounding drums that give a darker feel to the Star Wars Heroes March. And then Order 66, as you mentioned, Riley, earlier in the show. And honestly, the tragedy of Order 66 is that for people who are just very casual Star Wars fans, it doesn't mean a lot to them because they don't really have, you know, the fiction and the Clone Wars and all of that to kind of build behind the scenes of that. But even if you don't have that, the music still sells it. And the way Yoda kind of like, you know, is impacted, similar to how Obi-Wan is when Alderaan is blown up in A New Hope. And then what Order 66 taking on a meaning of its own through Kanan Jarrus and Clone Wars and Rebels. And all of the fiction that's come about since Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah, great ones.
Thank you, thank you.
That's such a good movie.
Isn't it fun? It's very powerful, and it's the closest thing to a Game of Thrones feel that I think we have in a Star Wars film.
Yeah, it is. It is pure.
Well,
it is
said. Pure.
Thank you.
Victorian tragedy. And
it truly is. In fact, when the first time I ever talked to Ian Desher, and I know I've told this story before, I said, listen, you got to write the William Shakespeare Star Wars prequels. And he's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, listen, watch Revenge of the Sith again and tell me that's not Shakespearean. And I'm not saying that I had any immediate impact on him writing those because I don't think I did. But I mean, he and I have talked about that since then, and I helped him kind of translate some of those sequences onto the page too. And it's just cool to see someone take that and say, hey, this is Shakespearean. I'm going to make it actually iambic pentameter on the page. So that was fun. As was talking with both of you about Revenge of the Sith. Riley, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you. Of course, we have the Star Wars Report, so please let us know about that. And definitely tell us about Malison Castle.
Oh, thanks, man. Absolutely. As always, it's a pleasure to come on. Love talking to you guys, having a cup of Joe, and talking the wars. It's a good time. Yeah, Star Wars Report, it's the weekly podcast that me and my buddy Bruce Gibson and Mark Hurlman are doing each and every week. We just go over the latest that we talk about what you're already talking about in the world of Star Wars, all the latest and greatest news, rumors, ponderings, and it can be found at starwarsreport.com or just wherever you find podcasts. And if you're interested more in the Disney side of things, especially with all the developments going on at the parks with Galaxy's Edge and some of the cool Star Wars stuff that's happening there, check out the brand new podcast that me and my buddy Aaron Goins from Star Wars Bookworms are doing. It's just called Malison Castle. It's the Mouse and Castle at mouseandcastlepodcast.com. And I highly encourage you to go subscribe, check it out. We have a whole episode dedicated to Galaxy's Edge. We're going to be recording another episode soon, talking about Aaron's experience doing Run Disney and cool stuff like that. So if you're into the Disney side of things, check that out. But regardless, dude, thanks so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it as always. And I'll hope to see you at Celebration. I know that's coming up soon, coming around next year. I'll be there at least for Saturday and part of Sunday. I won't be able to make the whole thing, but I'll definitely be up that way.
Well, you know, I will, considering it's just a 2-hour car drive from my house.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to be a lot cheaper airplane ticket this year because I won't need one. So that's much cheaper. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. Thank you for plugging those things. I'm very glad to hear you'll be at Celebration. Jeff, where can everybody find you if they want to reach out and ask you a question or just say hello?
I am Jeff Ellis, SF, like San Francisco, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I don't post that much, but reach out. Happy to talk the wars.
Let's go ahead and take our last break, and then we'll close out the show. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, One Nation Coffee, Harry's Razors, and Mouse Fan Travel. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Also, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own feeds now.
That's going to do it for show number 150 of Coffee with Kenobi. Again, thank you so much to everyone for supporting us over 150 shows. And it's been an absolute blast. Can't do it without all of your help. I want to thank Riley Blanton and Jeff Ellis for being on the show, Tom for bringing us the news, and in addition to the places I just mentioned for Coffee with Kenobi, you can also find me monthly on the podcast Looking at Lucasfilm. I did it again. It's not monthly. It's actually twice a month now. I better fix that in my show notes. It is, of course, a part of the Jim Hill Podcast Media Network. You can also find me on Twitter at Mr. Zehr, M-R-Z-E-H-R, and you can find my writing on CWK's website, as well as StarWars.com, where I'm an official blogger, and at IGN. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to check out www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi to help support the show, as well as get access to podcasts not heard anywhere else. There are also t-shirts, coffee mugs, cell phone cases, and much more. Have an awesome week, everybody. Stay warm, and I will see you next time. This is a podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.